Good morning, it's May 6th and this is your daily brief in EU news. Here's everything you need to know. In a striking display of solidarity, thousands have taken to the streets of Dresden and Berlin, voicing their alarm and condemnation following the brutal assault on SPD member Matthias Ecker. This incident not only shocked the nation, but also ignited a broader conversation on the safety of political figures and the state of democracy in Germany. Matthias Ecker found himself the target of a violent attack by four individuals while engaged in the seemingly mundane task of hanging election posters in Dresden. The severity of his injuries was such that it necessitated surgical intervention, underlining the grim reality of the risks faced by politicians in the current climate. In the wake of this attack, a wave of support and calls to action swept across the political landscape. High-profile leaders, including Bundestag's Vizepräsidentin Katrin Göring-Eckardt, made a public stand at demonstrations, reinforcing the message that democracy must be defended at all costs. The response from the government has been swift and decisive, with Interior Minister Nancy Faeser and Chancellor Olaf Scholz advocating for stringent measures against right-wing extremism and bolstering the security of political figures. The solidarity was further exemplified by the signing of the Streisiner Declaration by over 100 politicians. This pledge for mutual respect and protection marks a unified front against violence, albeit notably absent was the endorsement from the AfD party. This series of events, including attacks on other politicians, such as Green's Kai Gering and an AfD representative, has amplified concerns regarding the safety of those in the political arena and the broader implications for democracy in Germany. In response, the government is convening a special conference aimed at addressing and curbing the violence against political figures, signalling a commitment to restoring a sense of security and unity amidst a divisive political climate. In a move that underscores the evolving landscape of international diplomacy, Chinese President Xi Jinping's recent arrival in Paris marks a pivotal moment for China's relations with key European nations. This visit is not just a routine diplomatic engagement, it's a concerted effort to strengthen ties with France, Serbia, and Hungary amid a complex tapestry of global dynamics. The core of President Xi's mission is to reaffirm the traditional bonds of friendship between China and these European countries, particularly France. By focusing on building political mutual trust and enhancing strategic collaboration, the visit aims to promote stability and cooperation in China-EU relations. This is especially critical at a time when the world faces pressing challenges, such as climate change, requiring a united front to foster genuine multilateralism. The anticipation around President Xi's subsequent stops in Serbia and Hungary highlights the strategic importance of these nations in China's European policy. Both countries have expressed high expectations for the visit, signalling potential advancements in their respective relationships with China. However, this diplomatic tour is not without its implications. It could serve as a litmus test for European support for US foreign policy goals or, conversely, indicate a pivot towards deeper economic ties with China. With the backdrop of complex international dynamics, there's a keen eye on how this visit will influence the broader geopolitical landscape. An editorial perspective cautions against the potential for Xi's diplomatic endeavours to sow division within Europe. It suggests that the EU should approach its engagement with China with a degree of caution, mindful of the broader implications for European unity and strategic autonomy. This visit, therefore, is not just about strengthening bilateral relations, but also navigating the delicate balance of international alliances and partnerships. In a dramatic turn of events, the Conservative Party's local election results on May 2nd, 2024, have sent shockwaves through England's political landscape. The party's staggering loss of nearly 500 municipal councillors and a pivotal parliamentary by-election has put Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in the hot seat, facing mounting criticism and whispers of a leadership challenge. This electoral defeat marks a significant shift, with the party's national vote share plunging to a record low of 25%, positioning Labour more than 20 percentage points ahead in national polls. The atmosphere within the Conservative Party is one of resignation, with little hope for a leadership change before the general election, despite Sunak's struggles to connect with voters and a series of electoral setbacks. The growing influence of right-wing figures within the party, such as Suella Braverman and Andrea Jenkins, raises questions about the party's future direction under Sunak's leadership. The loss of popular Tory mayor Andy Street in the West Midlands further dampens party morale, signalling deeper issues within the Conservative ranks. The political situation in Thurrock, Essex, exemplifies the party's challenges, where significant electoral losses were attributed to a failed investment strategy, leading to cuts in essential services, increased council tax, and widespread public dissatisfaction. Labour's recent electoral successes hint at a potential shift in the UK's political power dynamics, casting a shadow over the future of Sunak's leadership and the Conservative Party's fortunes. As speculation about a leadership challenge looms, the question remains whether a change at the top could salvage the party's prospects before the general election. As the conflict in Ukraine intensifies, the world watches a grim tally of missile attacks, territorial advances by Russian forces, and escalating casualties. This situation not only affects the battlefield, but also shapes international diplomacy and raises profound humanitarian concerns. Russian forces continue to claim military victories, including shooting down American missiles, while President Zelensky finds himself on a wanted list. The significance of Orthodox Easter has not been lost on either side, with leaders using the occasion to bolster support among their followers. Meanwhile, the global stage sees active engagement from international leaders, with the US condemning Russian cyber attacks and France hosting discussions with China's President Xi Jinping on trade and the war's implications. Despite suffering significant losses, Russia shows no signs of deviating from its meat grinder strategy, sending waves of poorly trained and equipped soldiers into battle. This approach has resulted in over 473,400 Russian casualties, a figure projected to rise, according to the UK Ministry of Defence. The conflict's toll is evident in the destruction across Ukrainian cities and the suffering of its people, including the struggles of women who are survivors of sexual violence. The international community's response includes resumed US arms deliveries to Ukraine and potential shifts in diplomatic relations during President Xi Jinping's visit to France. At the same time, Russia's recruitment of prisoners for combat and the lack of official casualty updates underscore the conflict's deep and varied impacts. Independent sources suggest the actual number of Russian soldiers killed may far exceed official reports, highlighting the significant human cost of this ongoing conflict and its potential to reshape Russia's military strategy for years to come. In a swift response to a crisis, following a fire at the hospital Divino Espirito Santo in Ponta Delgada, São Miguel Arcores, a state of public calamity was declared, triggering a massive patient evacuation and transfer operation. This incident underscores the critical importance of emergency preparedness and interregional cooperation in healthcare. The fire led to the evacuation of all 333 patients from the hospital. Those in critical and severe conditions were moved to the CUF hospital in Lagoa and other local health centres, ensuring no interruption in the necessary medical care. Specialized transfers were arranged for 30 hemodialysis patients to the Hospital da Horta on Faial and 26 others to the Hospital de Santo Espirito on Terceira. Additionally, two pregnant women were transferred to Madeira for care. The hospital in Terceira played a vital role by receiving 3 intensive care patients. Efforts are ongoing to ensure the remaining patients in Ponta Delgada continue to receive the care they need. Madeira has stepped up, announcing the reception of a total of 65 patients from the Azores. The hospital doctor Nilio Mendonca is already providing care to the first group of transferred patients, highlighting the region's commitment to healthcare and emergency response. These patients, requiring hemodialysis, include individuals with varying needs. 5 are bedridden and 18 have reduced mobility. They will be admitted to the hospital doctor Nilio Mendonca, while the remaining 34 with mobility will be accommodated at the RG3 facility. The Regional Health Service of Madeira, along with private units in Funchal and Machico, will provide dialysis services. To support patients and their families during this challenging time, a dedicated support line has been established, ensuring they have access to the information and assistance they need. This has been your daily brief in EU news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.